This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Happy Monday. This is my very first day show. So welcome to all my new listeners, all my new day listeners, and welcome to my usual night listeners. You have me, J. Lewis Mills, and you are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Doing a little something different today. My guest is actually on the East Coast. She is in Baltimore, Maryland. So just with our schedules, we wanted to try something new this week. So we're doing the day show. You will still be able to hear a rebroadcast of this show in my normal time slot, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on BBS Radio. However, for the Wednesday show, it will be on Station 2, and today we are on Station 1, so if you do want to call in, the number to call in today is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. So, let's just go right ahead and jump into this. Before I start the show, I will let you all, my listeners, know this is a very serious subject. This is a very delicate subject. And I was going to do this show last week. However, kind of at the 11th hour, so to speak, I really realized with the gravity of this show and with how important this show was, I really wanted to have an industry professional on with me to either agree or disagree, back up or refute what I say, just to keep me honest, just to keep me on the level. I feel like if I am putting people in situations on the level, maybe, you know, it would be a good idea if I had someone to, if I did say something that was wrong, if I did misspeak, there would be someone here to educate me and help me, or there would be someone here to agree with me and strengthen my point even more. Me giving my commentary and just my commentary, I don't necessarily think it would do, especially this particular subject, the justice that I would like to do this subject this week. And this week, we are talking about mental health and mental illness. To me, that is a very serious subject. It's not something to be played with. It's not something to, in so many ways, just be opinionated. If you're going to have a conversation like this, I do think you need to have all of your I's dotted and all of your T's crossed, so to speak. What I would like to talk about this week are the people that will use a mental health issue or a mental illness issue as a crutch, or that don't have an issue at all, and they are trying to get some type of medical benefit or governmental benefit, or they are just an insecure person, and they want that type of sympathetic attention. I believe that on all three counts, I believe that is wrong. And I believe that that is wrong because what it does is it it pollutes the pool, so to speak. And when there are real people that have real issues, sometimes they are discredited, or sometimes they are pushed to the side because we have so much fakeness out there. Is what I'll say. So I wanted to, you know, have a conversation with an industry professional, and it just so happened that I have a good friend. As I said, she lives in Baltimore, Maryland. Her name is Beth Gilbert Katz. She is a psychotherapist that resides and practices in Baltimore. And I had posted on my Facebook page if I had any friends that were in the mental health industry, or that dealt with mental health or mental illness as a job. And gratefully and graciously, Beth did respond to me, and we did have a conversation. I asked her if she would come on to my show and have this conversation with me. So I am very grateful to have my friend, as well as the industry professional, Beth Gilbert Katz, on the show today. Beth, how are you doing? And thank you for being
here. Hi, Jay. Thank you. I'm doing very well. Very cold because it's 30 degrees here, but I'm doing very well.
Yeah, I keep seeing on Facebook, I keep seeing the meme that says, "Whoever pissed off Elsa, please apologize to her."
That's so I for think sure. that's
I think that's kind of funny.
That's
but just
true.
to let my listeners, before we start our dialogue together, can you give my listeners a little bit of validating background of yourself and your profession before we start our conversation?
Sure. As far as the mental health industry goes, I have been doing this since 1994. So I have been working with individuals and adults and couples for, like I said, since 1994 when I first started, when I graduated, and I worked at Hopkins for a little over 4 years. I was working with children and adolescents and decided to switch over to the adult population. So I've basically been with the adult population since about 1997. So I have been working in private practice, and I have also worked in hospitals, including Johns Hopkins and the Shepherd Pratt Health System. So I have been I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I've basically been working with people who have depression and anxiety, anger management, adult ADD, grief and bereavement issues, and I do a lot of marital and family therapy.
Can you tell the listeners what degrees you have to go along with you having your private practice?
Well, I received my bachelor's degree, of course, and then I received my master's degree. And after I received my master's degree, I needed to work for 2 years under supervision. So it was basically a residency, so to say. And I did that at Hopkins. And like I mentioned, I was there for 4 years. After I received my LCSWC, I continued in private practice. And one of the firms that I worked in I was there for a while, and it was right around the time of September 11th. And okay. I worked in the critical incident stress arena and received certification in that aspect. So I was working with, here on the East Coast, people who witnessed the plane crash at the Pentagon. So mm-hmm. I have a lot of PTSD and critical incident work as well.
Okay. So let's get into our conversation. And As I told you on our conversation, in our conversation that you and I had last week, my show was spurred by two separate personal instances that I encountered in my life with people that I knew. The first one is I knew of someone that lives here in Los Angeles that moved into a luxury apartment complex in downtown Los Angeles. Her complex did not allow her to have dogs. So she had a friend that told her, you know, I know a therapist. If you go and just tell them whatever you want to, they will write you a recommendation to have an emotional service dog. Now, let me just stop and say I absolutely believe in emotional service dogs because I know people that have them for a legitimate reason. What I don't believe in is someone going to a therapist and making up a story which would constitute that therapist writing a recommendation for them to have an emergency service or an emotional service dog, and this person being able to go and get a French bulldog and call that her emotional service dog. I'm sorry?
Yep. I said, that's a great breed. That's what I have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when I first heard of that, you know, it did kind of set me back a little bit. A second instance, and I believe this one is a little more serious. The second instance is someone that I came into contact with not too long ago that is swearing up and down that they have issues with PTSD and an anxiety disorder to the point that this person receives $3,000 a month in disability for her anxiety and for her PTSD. She is listed and labeled to not be able to work. However, this same person is one of the top five representatives for a multi-level marketing company, making a pretty good living as a top five multi-level marketer. But she still does receive $3,000 a month in disability. So my own personal thought about that is, how can you deal with people to the point of being in the top five of a worldwide multi-level marketing company, but you also receive $3,000 a month in disability because it's supposed to be deemed that you cannot work? If you cannot work, then I don't understand how you can be a very successful multi-level marketer. So if possible, Beth, I would like for you to speak to those two examples I just gave. And if you, in your practice, if you have encountered anything such as this, someone asking you to do them a solid or to do you a favor and write a recommendation or something like that, is that something that you have seen, or have you heard of any colleagues that have seen a situation like this?
Unfortunately, this is very common, and it's interesting you mentioned this to me last week, but both examples that you have just given to me are recent examples of this abuse of this mental health system. And I have received requests on an unbelievable amount for people who want me to write them letters, or they want me to testify, or they want something from me in their benefit that they do not deserve, like what you're describing as far as the therapy dog, because I do write letters. It's something called an ESA, and mm-hmm. it's an emotional support assessment. So okay. I have helped two of my patients receive, one has a therapy dog, and or like an emotional support dog, and one has a therapy dog. So there's like basically three different types of support animals that you can receive. So one is obviously a little bit more severe than the other one. But I have written two assessments for these patients, but the amount of requests I have received over, especially over the past, I would say 18 months, is mm-hmm. incredible. And I'm not going to do that because people want a dog or they want something to bring with them to school or to work or so that they can travel. And it's not necessary. I will determine if it's necessary. If they can function for the most part on an everyday basis and not need to have a dog with them, there's no need for me to write them a letter saying, yes, they need this to be able to travel. They need this to be able to go to school. They need this for that. When in every other aspect of their life, they're functioning normally.
Mm-hmm. Again, can you just to further touch on the service dog, the emotional service dog, can you explain to the listeners that have never dealt with this situation before, can you explain to them how having a dog can help someone emotionally, like how that actually is therapy for a person?
Well, as you know, or I would think most people know, the unconditional love that a dog brings and the support. I mean, you know of dogs who can detect seizures and the dogs who can tell when you're upset. That is something that everyone or a lot of people do know about. But mm-hmm. with emotional support, you know, for an example, I'll just use an example of what I have. I have a particular patient who is able to function in everyday life, but she cannot get out of bed to get to her class unless she has a dog with her. And she is not compliant with medication. She's not compliant with therapy. All she wants is a dog. She wants a dog to bring with her to school because she's afraid if she doesn't have the dog, people aren't going to want to talk to her or people are not going to pay attention to her. So with the emotional, you know, that's with that particular patient. But then I have another patient who she has difficulty functioning on an everyday basis. She has nightmares at night. She does not sleep well. She has difficulty eating because her stomach is always in knots. She has mm-hmm. flashbacks, which at times have caused a seizure. And the dog, she has a dog, she has a golden doodle. This particular dog is able to detect when she's about to go into a seizure or she's about to have a panic attack. And the dog is right by her side. So it varies in severity. So I've seen this so much, Jay. It's overwhelming with the thing about emotional support dogs or therapy dogs.
Now, when it comes to emotional service dogs or when it comes to therapy dogs, is it a fair statement to say any breed of dog will work, or is it fair to say there are only certain breeds of dog? And what I mean is, when you see the police dog, more often than not, you're going to see a German Shepherd. Me personally, I haven't, and I mean, I not like I go around looking at police dogs all the time. But any time I've seen a story where a police dog has been used, it's been a German Shepherd. So it, to me, it seems as though for that kind of work, a German Shepherd works best. So when it comes to emotional service dogs or therapy dogs, are there particular breeds that work better, or is a dog is a dog is a dog?
The more nurturing of breeds can are what I would recommend. Sure, you see German Shepherds with service dogs. You see Golden Retrievers and Labrador Retrievers with as service dogs. The Labrador and Golden Retrievers also work well for emotional support. The, as you were mentioning before, of the person you know who has a French Bulldog, French Bulldogs are very nurturing. There's, believe it or not, they're gentle giants, but the English Mastiff, the Great Dane, those are also very emotionally supportive dogs. Do you, I mean, if your listeners would like, I can probably give you a list of breeds that would work.
Yes, what you could do is, when this show does hit my archive, anything that you want to post with that, and I would appreciate if you could, if you had the time, if you could make a list and email that over to us, we'll make sure that that actually... That does get on our show page. As far as okay, let's say I were somebody that you saw professionally a year ago, and you didn't hear from me for 6 months, 7 months, and I come to you and I say, "Oh, Beth, I wanted to see if it would be possible for you to write me an ESA stating that I need a service dog." What is your answer going to be to me?
If I have not seen you?
Yes. If I used to come and see you a year ago, but you haven't seen me for at least 6 to 8 months.
No way. No way. There's no possible way. I had that. This is a different example, but I had that 2 days ago from a patient who I have not seen her in probably 4 or 5 months, and she wanted me to write a letter to her university of here she suffers from anxiety, and she wants to bypass this semester. And I stopped seeing, or not stopped seeing her, she stopped coming in 4 or 5 months ago, and she wants me to write a letter to excuse her. That's not going to happen. If you are that anxious or you're that depressed, then continue with therapy. I don't believe in pushing drugs unless it's absolutely necessary. I believe in doing the work that it takes. It's your mind that's bringing on these anxious thoughts, these depressive thoughts, and you can work through it. You're not going to take a pill, and you're not going to have a dog, or you're not going to have a letter to get you out of what's bringing you down. So I would not do that. I would not write a letter for someone who I do not see.
Now, I don't know clearly. I mean, you have to understand, and my listeners have to understand, I don't know how many therapists are there in your local area of Baltimore. I don't even know how many therapists are in Maryland. I don't even know how many therapists are on the East Coast. But when you do, I'm sorry, did you say a ton?
There's so many. There's so many.
Okay. So is it, and I hope that this question isn't as far-fetched as I'm now thinking it is, but when something like this happens, do you reach out to other therapists in your community and kind of alert them of this person?
Yes,
is you do.
That's funny because I do. I do.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned this to you the other day, but I have certain people, you know, it's like people doctor shop, you know,
yes.
they're not getting a prescription from a certain doctor, they're going to go to yes. another doctor. We do the yes. same thing. And I'm part of a big practice, you know, it's the mental health practitioners. I belong yeah. to groups. I rent office space from a man who has 5 or 6 people who work for him. So, yes, I give them names, and I say, I just want you to understand I was seeing this person for X period of time, and mm-hmm. I am not going to be giving them the letter that they want for unemployment or disability or the letter they want for an ESA. So mm-hmm. They may come to you, and I just want you to know this is what I encountered. So I actually posted that onto a website that I subscribe to let them know of almost that exact example that you mentioned.
Okay. It seems as though we have a caller. Caller,
okay.
I don't know what your name is. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, well, I'm just going to say I'm a Lewis fan, and I'm from New York, Bronx.
Okay.
Hi.
What is your question or quick comment?
Well, actually, I'd like to touch on a few points that the doctor said. I was diagnosed bipolar, and first of all, I don't like to admit it. So I don't know why people go out saying, oh, I have this or I have that, because I don't even like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. However, the question I have for the doctor is that I stopped abruptly using medication because I always felt that I felt like I was drowning in an ocean, like slow motion. My thoughts weren't. I wasn't thinking right. Even with the medications that they were giving me, and I was diagnosed back in 2009, and I get anxiety and panic attacks.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Who diagnosed you with bipolar?
I lived in PR, and I'm sorry, I'm already getting anxious. It was back in 2009. It was one psychiatrist, I can't remember his name, and actually it was because I went on a neighbor abuse. This young guy back home would put his loudspeakers and music really high. And I don't know if you've ever been to Puerto Rico. The streets are, like, right next door to you. So it got to a point that I made the complaints. The cops didn't do anything, just, you know, tell him, you know, not to do it, but he kept on doing it. So I took a bat at his car.
You took a bat to his car?
Yes.
Okay, so okay.
And, yes, I was taken to the hospital, and I was there, and I was diagnosed.
Okay. Because it sounds like that was a manic episode, that you just had a manic episode.
Yes.
Now, with
before
bipolar,
that,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry? Yeah,
no,
before that, it was right after my mom's death. That I got into a really bad depression, but what actually exploded was that incident.
That incident did what?
That incident kind of brought everything out, you know, then when they diagnosed me and they asked me questions.
Sure. That, and it doesn't, you know, it's not like you're born. One thing with bipolar is, it's a lifelong illness. It's not something that's going to go away. It's not like depression or anxiety that's just going to go away. With bipolar, there's certain mental illnesses or disorders that require medication. Bipolar disorder. Hello? Okay, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh, I'm
bipolar. Okay, bipolar disorder is one of the mental disorders where you have to take medication. And that's one thing. I treat a lot of people with bipolar disorder. And when they are not medicated, they decline rapidly. And especially if there's some type of mania. I've had a bipolar patient who was not medicated and went and attempted suicide, and another bipolar patient who did not take medication and went into a fit of mania. So I strongly suggest that you start the medication, but if you're not happy with the doctor who diagnosed you or prescribed, there's so many different medications. I could, you know, if this was a different time, I could go into all of the different medications with you. But please don't be afraid to use any type of medication. Unfortunately, bipolar is not something that's going to go away.
Okay. Everything you've said has touched everything, you know, that I go through. That's what I was, when I was listening to you and Louis speaking. I tried working, and I wasn't able to at all. So I don't know how people could actually say they're bipolar and work normally. I wasn't able to at all, especially...
Were you medicated? When you were working, were you medicated when you were working?
Yes.
You were medicated.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was. And I used to be a former representative, you know, in sales, you know, and talking to people. And I wasn't able to really take irate people. And it would just, even with the medication, it would just, you know, totally take me out of control. So I wasn't able at all to work. So I don't know how people could work. I don't know how... When I watch TV and they say that medication does this and does that, I was on it since 2009, and I got off them 2014, which my doctor did not, you know, he totally disagreed for me doing it because I did it abruptly. But I don't know how people can say that medication, you can work or be a normal person, because I wasn't.
I promise you, it's done. I promise you, the majority of my patients, like I mentioned before, I have a significant amount of patients who have bipolar, and I will tell you that 90% of those people I treat who have bipolar work, and they are successful. So I'm not sure of the medication that you were on, but there are so many different medications out there now that maybe it was just the medication you were on was not working for you, and maybe the doctor, I don't know if you saw a psychiatrist or a primary care physician, but...
No, so it was a psychiatrist. That's what I was going to ask you. Should I see a therapist?
Yes. When he gave you the medication for your bipolar. Do you remember what you were on?
I have it jotted down. I have. Well, one of them, they started me off with Zoloft.
That was the first mood stabilizer. Okay, that's not for bipolar.
And Celexa?
The thing is, with bipolar... What was your mood stabilizer? Were you on Lamictal or Depakote or Tegretol or lithium or Depakine? Were you on anything that was stabilizing you?
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you exactly, because I wrote them down, and None of them. None of them. I don't feel that any medication, except for me feeling like a zombie. In fact, my brother would joke and tell me that I look like a crackhead. So, you know, I just stopped.
Some medications will do that. I agree with you in what you're in. I understand completely what you're going through as far as feeling like a zombie, because I see it. And it's just your dosages may have been off, or the medications you were on just were not your medications. There are so many out there that could help you. But the problem with bipolar is, like I mentioned, it is lifelong. And if you do not take the medication, yes, you may feel fine for, you know, X period of time, but the symptoms come back. And very often when the symptoms come back, they are more severe than before they started, because this is something, it's like I mentioned, this is not anything that you mess around with. This is one of the mental illnesses that you have to be medicated on. So I ask for you to please look for a psychiatrist, maybe talk to people who see psychiatrists and are happy. But when I refer to when I refer my patients who have bipolar, I tell them, do not see a primary care physician. You wouldn't see a primary care physician. They're not specialists.
No.
Exactly.
No.
So
exactly. I was my medications were Cytopram, Bupropion.
Well, which was Wellbutrin. Okay, that's a good. That Wellbutrin's good. That's a good one.
Which one?
Wellbutrin. Wellbutrin sounds like you were taking was one of the medications.
Okay, and clonazepam.
That's more for anxiety. Okay.
Risperdal. Risperdal.
Okay.
What the heck? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 medications.
That's the thing is, I don't know if this doctor was just, if you would go in and say this didn't work for me, and then he'd stop you. And I don't know how the medications work, so it's hard for me to say. The only thing I can say is that you can function, and you can have a wonderful, productive life, whether you are diagnosed with bipolar or you're diagnosed with basically anything, as long as you are receiving psychiatric medications for bipolar and you're receiving some type of therapy. So the type of therapy that I do is cognitive behavioral, and I do cognitive behavioral therapy, but I also do something called mindfulness-based therapy, focusing on the here and now, focusing on the present. So I do two types of therapy, and I think it may be best for you to start with a different psychiatrist. It sounds like the last one you had maybe wasn't the best one, and to look for a therapist.
Okay.
I have a question. Okay. How much distance, I mean, you all know because you're on the East Coast, how much distance is between the Bronx and Baltimore, and can you get from the Bronx to Baltimore? Oh. I asked that to see if it's too far.
Actually, my brother lives in Virginia, and that's 8 hours, so probably a 5 to 6 hour ride. So, no, it's
okay.
Because you know that I go to New York City a lot. So it takes me about 4 hours to get to New York City. So I don't know how far the Bronx is. But what I would tell you, caller, what I would suggest to you is go onto this website called psychologytoday.com.
Okay.
And filter it. Filter it through your zip code, your insurance that you have, the type of therapist you want. Like, do you prefer a male or do you prefer a female? and filter it by your symptoms. So on Psychology Today, you will see a list of symptoms or disorders, and one of them is bipolar. So if I were you, I would check off bipolar, and I would check off anxiety, because it sounds like some of the medications you were on was for your anxiety. And when you first started off with this call, you talked about the anxiety you were in. So look on psychologytoday.com. I think that will help you.
And I would also like to say, you said something, caller, when you first started. You said it's something that you don't want to admit you have, and you don't understand how people could actually go out and say they had it. And I am so grateful that you said that, because it actually strengthens my point. When somebody doesn't have something and they want to try and convince you they do, they're going to talk about it basically all day. And that's one of the things that I noticed just with me personally. I know people that are bipolar, and they are like you. It's almost like embarrassing. It's humiliating to them, and they don't want to talk about it. But the ones that will always talk about it are the ones that are looking for that level of sympathy. So I think it actually makes it worse for people that actually have that condition, for the ones that are trying to get the drugs, or they're trying to get the sympathy. So I absolutely thank you for what you said, and I would again go to the website, and I mean there is absolutely help for you. The last question I do have, Beth, is with the medications that the caller just mentioned, is it possible that the combination of her taking all of these at the same time was putting her in the zombie state that she was in?
That's an understatement, but I don't think, at least I don't think in caller, you can, because what Jay just brought up is a good question. Were you on all these medications at the same time, or was it just these were medications that were tried?
At the same time.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, then let me say something to you. Get a new psychiatrist quickly, and do not go back to the person who you were seeing before.
Well, I actually stopped going to them in 2014. So I've been on
good.
Medication. I could say that I don't, listening to you all talking, I don't like to socialize a lot. I stay in my apartment. If I don't go out, if I don't have to, unless I have a regular doctor's appointment. So when I'm around people, it just I'm not easy. It's like I just want to get away and go come back and just isolate
myself.
What I would want to do with you,
if you were my patient, I would be working with you on getting those distorted thoughts out of your head, because there's something going on inside of you that's making you depressed, and it's getting to that. I wouldn't be necessarily writing letters or doing emotional support assessments to help you function. I can help you function just by changing your thoughts. And I want to bring something else up to the caller. And I know that, Jay, you could vouch for that. There are, when you talk about not thinking that there are functioning people or people who can function with bipolar, I think you know the significant amount of celebrities who have come forward and admitted that they are bipolar. And I don't know if I can mention names on this radio station.
I know who they are. Yes, I know who they are. And I know who their families, members that have it as well. And
they function, though. They are great.
Yes,
they have a great life.
And I'm thinking, yes, because they're not on a cheap ass, and I'm sorry, excuse the word, medical plan. or, you know, government plan that they have, you know, good doctors. You know, it's like, none of the ones, because I've had a few doctors. I've had male and female doctors, and all the medications have, I felt the same way. I have a bachelor's, and this medication, I got off of it, and I don't even remember what I studied, you know? If I read something, I mean, these medications, like, really messed me up. When I read something, I have to read it all over again because I don't remember what I read. I mean, it's aggravating. It's just aggravating.
It is aggravating, and it's very aggravating. It's frustrating. But I will tell you, and I will promise you, if you get what insurance do you have?
Medicare.
Okay, that's fine. Do you have a secondary insurance with your Medicare?
No.
You do not, so you just have Medicare. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of therapists out there, and you can put that in. When you go into Psychology Today and you put in what you're looking for and you filter it out by your insurance, put in that you have what your insurance is. And I promise you, you will be able to find the right help. But you can make it, and you will make it.
Should I seek a psychotherapist, not a psychiatrist?
Because, you would need a psychiatrist. You would need both.
Because I didn't feel good with medication. I didn't even feel good when I got off them. I was like, it was like I was on withdrawal. It's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, I'm talking to you. Before, when I was on medication, I was like, people didn't even understand. I was always slurry. I wasn't mm-hmm. able to speak. So I'm afraid of these medications at this point.
So I think the best thing to do is to follow what Beth said. Go to psychologytoday.com, filter in all of your information. And again, as Beth said, you know, I know people that do work and they are bipolar. It's just they eat right, they exercise, they take whatever medication they need to take. And I don't know who you are personally. Everyone understands that, but it almost breaks my heart to hear you say that the only time you go out is if you have a doctor's appointment. There is so much, and I don't even know how old you are, and you don't ask the woman how old she is, so I'm not asking you to tell us how old you are. But there is so much life that I think you are missing out on.
Yes.
And I absolutely invite you to take the initiative. My last show was about making changes to make ourselves better in 2018. I absolutely invite you to take the initiative to get on to the website that Beth just told you about and just see if there is a psychotherapist as well as a psychiatrist in your area that will not only help you but will actually renew your faith and renew your trust and help you out of the situation that you're in. Because in my opinion, you know, you are in a prison that only you hold the keys to the door, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is you have to go out and get the help. And it's very hard. I'm not trying to say it's an easy thing for you. I'm not trying to make light of this situation. I understand, believe it or not, I understand how difficult it is for you to go outside. I understand how difficult it is for you to deal with people. But the point that I'm trying to make is if you find the proper help, it will make life so much easier and so much more beautiful for you that You never know. 30 days, 60 days from now, you may be contacting my show to get an email address for Beth to thank her for the information she gave you.
Well,
so
Jay,
I absolutely invite you to do that. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
For one thing, and then I know we probably have to get to a different caller, but I looked under psychology today for you, and what I did was I filtered it based on Medicare, bipolar disorder, and adults. And I found in Bronx, New York, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I found about 15 therapists, with some of them being psychologists, who take Medicare, treat adults, and specialize in bipolar disorder.
Okay, that's awesome. Then as soon as I get off, I'll finish listening to the show and get on the site and check it out.
I wish you the best of luck. I wish you the best of luck.
But I would like to say to Jay, yes, my faith actually has kind of been my what's been keeping me together. So that's not totally completely, but you know, when I get those thoughts, I start praying and stuff like that. I'm kind of isolated. Yeah.
Well, I absolutely thank you for your call, ma'am. I wish you the best of luck, and stay in touch with me and let me know how you're doing. Let me know how your journey has come after you receive the proper help there in the Bronx, okay?
I'll DM you, definitely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, so see, that call right there, here's the thing. Sure, that call went a little longer than expected, but I'm a firm believer. If you help just one, then that's enough. And I had my own all the way up until we started this show. I kind of had reservations about doing this show because I didn't want people to see it, or I didn't want people to take it in the wrong way. But that caller, as I said when she was on the phone, she made a great point. She is really going through a situation, and she's scared to, I don't want to say scared, she didn't say scared. She said that she's embarrassed to talk about it. She's embarrassed to tell people about it. And when you have these people that are always mentioning how they have anxiety disorder, or they have bipolar, they have this.
Not everyone warns other people about that. So I tend to do that a little bit more than maybe some of the other people. But I personally have not had someone who came into my office and I was alerted. What has happened is I have complained to colleagues about a particular patient, and they have said to me, I had a patient like that, and on one occasion when we reviewed this particular patient that we were both talking about, it was the same person. But she never let me know ahead of time that this person was coming, you know, to be aware of this person. So
okay. And before I, unfortunately, people, my call did drop, or my side of the call dropped, so I apologize for that. Beth, what is the last thing you heard me say before my call dropped?
Oh God, the last thing I don't know what the last thing was, because I kept it just like automatically dropped.
Okay. So I was making a point, and I just want to go back and reiterate that point. What I said, and I think I was off air when I said this, it really bothers me and it really infuriates me when I can go on Facebook and I see someone sitting with a coffee mug and a very sly look on their face. And the coffee mug says, I like my coffee black, just like my soul. And people can use the excuse of not having a filter on what they say as to attributing that to post-traumatic stress disorder or to an anxiety disorder. When I heard from the caller, it kind of renewed that anger in me because I was speaking to someone that has a real problem.
That's
and
right.
When I encounter people that want to say, oh, well, you know, I just have anxiety. Oh, I just have PTSD. So I don't really have there's no filter anymore from my brain to my mouth. You can go ahead and kick rocks with that because it bothers me to no end when I have to see and hear someone fake a situation just to try and either get that type of a pass. Oh, well, you know, that person has PTSD, so, or that person has anxiety, so you just have to understand that's who they are. No, that person is just a coward and doesn't want to own up to and doesn't want to be adult enough to own up to what he or she is saying. In this case, it's definitely she, to what she is saying. And you use those excuses. It's going to, as I said earlier, it's going to muddy the waters, so to speak, when you're dealing with real people. Because if you have somebody that is in a fake way stating that they have PTSD or they have some type of an anxiety disorder and they're acting a certain way, you come into contact with someone that really has this issue, you're automatically going to say, well, this person I knew acted this way. So you're going to automatically be judging someone else when, in actuality, the person that told you what they had was being fake. So that's why it's really a problem for me when I hear people use excuses or use different mental illness or different mental health issues to just try and cover up the shortcomings as a human being that they have.
Bingo. Bingo.
If that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know that you have to wrap up, but this is obviously a topic that we can talk about for hours. So
yes,
if you ever do
is.
Another show similar to this on the mental health industry, you know that I'm in. So
yes.
There's a lot going on in the system, Jay. I mean, a lot.
And so, there was even a lot that I wanted to get into in our conversation because we really didn't even touch on those people out there that do go for the disability and they don't need it. They collect disability.
I could have gone on a rampage on that one.
Exactly. So we have to make a date. We have to make a date. We'll do that.
Let me know, and we'll do this again.
Absolutely. So to end our call, I usually end with my ending comment. But before that, I like to ask my guests what parting words you would like to leave the listeners with today.
The only parting words that I want to say to my clients is, if you are suffering from anything, whether it's PTSD or bipolar or depression or anxiety, anything that you are suffering with, please do not look at it as something that's going to paralyze you. You can and you will overcome everything. I promise you, if you do the things that you should be doing or can be doing, you will overcome this. I promise you. I've seen it. I've seen some horrific situations, especially when I was working with 9/11, horrible, horrible times, and you will get through this.
Well, Beth, I absolutely thank you for being here. I thank you for just the strength that you brought to this particular episode of my show and being an industry professional. I thank my caller, and you know, I'm not going to get on a 10-20 minute rant right now, but I just have to reiterate, mental health and mental illness is a very real thing. And shame on anybody. I don't care who you are. Shame on anybody that wants to take advantage of the sympathy, that wants to take advantage of the plans and the programs that are put into place for real people with real issues. I posted on my Facebook page, I call it my actor's page, not my personal Facebook, but my professional page. I posted a picture, and I don't remember exactly everything that it said, but I know it said that anxiety is not cute. Bulimia is not glamorous. You know, you see people that will say they have, you know, and you mentioned, Beth, how there are some celebrities who have come out and said they're bipolar, they're this, they're that. Okay, well, when I see fans of people just to try and have that connection, oh, yes, I have the same problems you do as well, that bothers me. When you know good and well, you don't. I am not speaking to anyone with a real problem. So I don't want to get any messages. I don't want to get any emails. You don't know what people have. You're right. I don't know what people have, but people know what people have. And shame on you if you're one of those people that knows good and well you don't have any type of a mental health or mental illness problem, but you're trying to sell that to someone for whatever gain you're trying to sell it to. I thank my guest today. Was, you never know, I might do another day show. This is kind of cool. But as I did say, if you all did not, how can I say this? I don't want to say if you missed the show today, you can listen Wednesday, because if you're not listening to the show, you're not going to hear me say that. But if there's anybody that you want to hear this show, just understand that this particular show will be rebroadcast this Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Unfortunately, you won't be able to call in then, because this is the call-in part of the show. But at least listen to what we said today. And if there's anybody that you think needs to hear this, I invite you to have them listen to my show. I can't tell you enough, Beth, how appreciative I am to have had you on today. We will absolutely do this again, and I have to say, we are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.